Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Royal Oak, Michigan. Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, Matt, and Angela.
And we are live, episode 119 of the Better on Draft.
It is Groundhog Day.
It is Groundhog's Day. There we go. Obviously, for the video, you can see this is take two as we're trying to talk into the mic.
I got you, babe.
But hello, everyone. Hope you're all doing well. Nick, what are you drinking?
Double fisting. I got the Stone Jocovesa Chard. That's that, well, that big bottle
the,
that we
the
killed.
Bomber's runner somewhere.
Yeah, it's over by Ken.
It's over by me. I showed
and then I cracked open an Oddside Hazelnuts.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it a new one or is it?
It's the most recent.
Oh. Matt, what's going on?
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Are your arms tired?
Yeah, I did a lot of flying today, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And thankfully, I had a nice long break. You know, American Airlines was like, you know, Ken, you had a long day. I know you just flew 20 minutes from Asheville to Charlotte, and I know you have a two-hour layover. We're just going to make it a four-hour layover.
Oh, jeez.
So they rounded it up for you.
Yeah, I guess you could say
were
that.
Were you preloaded on your Netflix downloads?
I was not.
Oh.
I was not.
You done fucked up, Aaron.
But the Charlotte airport does have nice free Wi-Fi. The reason I know this is that out of the, I would say no joke, a dozen times I flew in and out of the Charlotte airport, I've either been stuck there overnight once, as well as stopped and delayed probably 70% of the time.
What I have found is that I just download a whole series on Netflix, so wherever I am, I can just watch it.
To be honest, I was just podcasting it up, kind of relaxing. I had MSNBC up on my phone for a little bit because I got YouTube TV, so was watching a little TV, a little news. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting flight to say the least. And then, of course, I'm in a damn American Eagle puddle jumper for the long flight from Charlotte to Michigan, nice. As opposed to like one
you
of
mean,
the bigger
you
ones.
You mean the apparel company? The Aeropostale rival?
Is that American Eagle too?
American Eagle Outfitters.
Yeah.
American Eagle's the smaller plane version. The American Eagle is the smaller version of American Airlines.
No, I get that. I
figured it out. I was like, did I get it wrong too? Because I could have been.
Maybe
I'm born with it. Rob, what's going on?
Maybe it's Charlie Sheen.
Ooh, nice. Not much. Big props to a certain call center that I work with that is in a very big plant that sits on Telegraph in Plymouth. I'm not going to mention him by name because I guess you're not supposed to do that. But of course, there was a little bit.
We'll
of
call
a,
him George. Way yeah, to go, George.
We'll call him George. And basically, we had a little situation in Taylor where a man decided to be disgruntled and shoot and kill his boss, and then steal a truck, and then go off and kill somebody else. It just so happened that that particular diesel engine has a little system that we keep track of, and so the trucking company gave our call center a call. We were able to locate that truck and help in finding the suspect. So big props to them on that.
Yeah.
Well, what about you? What are you up to? Are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Weyerbacher 22nd and some of the charred Chocovesa, which is, like, I guess to me, not that great.
You can smell the heat. You can't taste it, and it's okay.
I felt like there was a Robert Palmer joke in there somewhere, but I'm all right.
Maybe an Arnold Palmer. Makes a little half.
You know,
half.
Robert Palmer was in a band. You know,
I know. Yeah. Feel the heat.
No, it was Power Station or something.
Yeah. Well,
I have no idea what you guys are talking about. It could be the fact that I'm.
You're such
tired.
A youngin, Ken.
I am a youngin. As much as you guys have more hair than me. I think everyone in the studio has a claim to that.
Yeah,
so.
I think you have more hair than me just because you have
face. I got the nice little you grow like the Sidney Crosby face, like the Sidney Crosby beard.
It
would take me a year to grow what Nick grows in like 20 minutes.
Were we talking on his face or on his chest?
Probably both.
Sure, I'm not gonna comment on another man's chest here.
I was gonna say he needs to start wearing deep V, show it off a little bit.
Gotta let that won't
fly.
No,
we got it on camera. We can see it.
No,
so we do have guests in studio.
We do.
It's been a couple years actually since you guys have been in studio. But welcome. Why don't we start right here and introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm John. I own Dearborn Brewing, and I brought friends.
Yeah,
you did bring friends. Who do we got next to you?
Hi, my name's Daniel. I'm one of the brewers at Dearborn Brewing.
How old are you?
I'm 22 years old.
Are you sure?
Don't check my ID.
Did he fill out like a proper W-9 and stuff like that? Like,
yes, he did.
Like, I don't know if I trust him.
Yeah.
Do you e-verify your employees?
Yes.
And finally at the end?
I'm Gail. I'm one of the brewers.
Welcome, welcome. Well, we're glad you guys are here. So, how has it been 2 years since you guys opened? I don't even think you guys were open when you first came on. You guys were just talking about getting through the procedures.
I think we had just gotten the doors open and we had started in on a very bad foot because of the rush and the delays and everything. And so it's been an adventure.
It's been an adventure. Well, obviously, you've gained employees because you're not brewing anymore from what you were telling me.
Not very much.
Not very much.
It's been a couple months since I've been in the brew house on a brew day.
So be honest.
I go up and visit it every once in a while.
Has the beer improved since you left?
Yes.
Ooh. That was very nice. So what is it that you guys are making? Like, what's your biggest seller right now?
What do you guys think?
Probably our Model IPA.
Yeah, that one's out on distribution, so it's kind of got a leg up on everything else.
Where are you guys getting distro at?
The Model IPA is at Ford's Garage in Dearborn.
Okay.
Along with the oatmeal stout.
Good
brew. Good brew.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with that, man.
How's the what's that, the White Bronco? Are you guys still making it? Or?
Yep, we're still making it.
That's you guys brought it here today. Yeah. Well, that's a good segue into that. We should start pouring that around and get some glasses. So that's your New England IPA, correct?
Yep. Yeah. This one's probably
do
a bit
gloves to.
No, it's probably a bit drier than most. It's got a lot more grapefruit instead of orange and stuff like that. A little bit different citrus.
Do you guys feel obligated to make a New England IPA since everyone else is doing it, or?
A little bit.
A little peer pressure.
But
just a splash for you.
I think it had mostly to do with O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, it actually came out.
You didn't put any orange?
When he came out?
The day we were setting it up for release, like a week before it was coming out, the news got out that he was scheduled to be released on this day. So,
oh, wow.
October 1st.
Yeah, and I had already been joking around about, you know, well, if it's a juicy IPA, it's like, I should call it White Bronco. I mean, we're in Dearborn, and there was the car chase and everything.
Right.
So it just kind of worked out that way. But you know, our regular Mug Club members, I think they'd string me up if I ever tried to get rid of it at this point. So.
Oh, so it's a good hit. I think we're seeing that with a lot of people, like a lot of reluctant New England IPA is being made, but I think everyone's just enjoying them. I think that trend is definitely going to be in here for a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of a happy accident. Like, I think somebody did it and it just caught on that people are now able to go anywhere and kind of have a similar style of beer.
I think it's almost like a necessity now. Like, almost every brewer has to have it.
Right.
I think they have to have it in their repertoire. I don't know if they have to have it, you know, on the tap. I think it's, you know, a nice, you know, the thing about craft beer is it's when you go craft house to craft house, you know, if you have a New England IPA, it's such a distinct style, whether if you like them or not, if you like them, you can go pretty much anywhere. You have an idea of what the flavor profile is going to be. Whereas if you have like a West Coast IPA or just a standard IPA, it could run the gamut of so many different, you know, hop flavors, you know, adjuncts. Whereas the New England IPA is still kind of an unbastardized beer. So if you like one, you go to a new place, you can feel comfortable. You're probably going to like their New England IPA. And then you can kind of play the board and kind of go, well, am I more of a hoppy person or more of a malty person?
So what were you doing before you were brewing? Because obviously I just assume you were in high school.
Learning to crawl?
Yeah.
So I went to Schoolcraft College for brewing and distilling.
There
and
you
I
go.
Just graduated a couple months ago. So because of them, I got my job at Dearborn Brewing. So
all right, all right. Did you apply for our scholarship, or were you a little too late?
No,
for...
I didn't apply for any scholarships. Oh,
we were giving away. We gave away a bunch of money.
Yeah, we did.
$2,000. Yeah, we appreciate the help with that. So you guys just found him straight through Schoolcraft, or did he apply?
He got recommended to me by Annette May.
Oh, okay. Huh?
We had put a posting up, and I think Annette saw it on either your page or the Masher's page.
Yep.
When you had posted it, and it got shared to Schoolcraft, and then I got an email from Annette and said, hey, we've got someone who's kind of local. We think it'd be a good fit. And she was right, and oh, she is with nice. Most things beer.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
And how did you get into brewing over at Dearborn?
I retired from Dearborn Schools, and an opportunity came up, and I asked John if he was interested. And I've been a home brewer for about 17 years. Oh, okay. I'm a beer judge, and so he jumped at it.
You got your BJCP qualifications?
Yeah, Grandmaster one.
Oh, sorry. Excuse
me. I
need to go seat somewhere else.
No worries. We got two in the state.
Nice.
Who's the other one? Yeah. Do you know?
Mike Winnie.
I don't know who that is.
He's actually in Berkeley.
Okay.
Let's say, I think I know a name, somebody by that name.
Yeah, Mike Winnie's
doesn't
close
seem
by.
Like that common of a name. So,
well, yeah, no, because I played pickleball in the summer, and I'm wondering if that's the same guy. Small what? World if it is.
Well, you're gonna have to.
I'm gonna get next.
Get his tasting.
Yeah, I'm like, are you a beer judge by any chance?
Do you judge your beers more harsh because they're your beers or?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think any home brewer does really.
I think that's why I can never homebrew.
Every brewer does.
Yeah,
home
not even home brewer.
Or professional. Yeah. I think you're always your own worst enemy. Critic.
I kind of feel that way because
– I don't know. I thought one beer that I made was pretty good, so
– I mean, I'm kind of looking at that bottle like I really don't want to open that because I'm afraid of how that's going to taste. But, you know, some were good, some were eh. And, you know, I've got the Carboy sitting in the basement right now with hopefully what is going to turn out into a stout. I had thought of throwing Oreos into it until one of my friends, my man Leland, he told me, don't do that because there's an absolute shit ton of fat in Oreos and it's going to completely ruin the beer, and completely dashed my hopes.
Wonder if there's low fat Oreos for you.
I mean, even then, I'm thinking maybe fat is fat. I'm thinking it's going to do, you know, it's going to completely screw it up. So I said, all right, screw this. I'm just going to go to the store. I went and got some cocoa nibs, threw those in there. And now I've got this, like, a couple vanilla beans that are just sitting in bourbon. I'm just waiting for like a week and a half, and I'm just going to dump it in there and see what happens.
See, they got reduced fat. Chocolate sandwich cookies for Oreos. That's the official title, Oreo chocolate sandwich cookie.
Well, I guess going back to her point in terms of just, you know, being my own judge, I know in my heart of hearts I'm going to take a gallon of that and put it in a gallon jug and just say to hell with it. I'm throwing Oreos in it anyway, because
maybe we should.
I'm being told it's not going to work. They can't be wrong.
Yeah,
but I'm going to do it anyway. Just
they can
see
be
what
anything
happens.
But wrong.
I mean,
but if it ain't wrong, it ain't right.
I feel like there's a Billy Joel joke in there. For you may be wrong, but all I know, you may be right.
If you can get the fat to come to the surface, if you do it in a small amount and the fat comes to the surface, you can always skim it off and then, you know, reblend it back into the rest of the beer and minimize the damage that the fat would do on the head retention and everything.
Hmm.
What he said.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, but he said it first.
Okay. I figured the Schoolcraft guy would.
That sounds like something I should do in a bucket rather than a Carboy, because obviously you can't scoop out the fat in, you know, essentially it's like you're trying to put a ship in a bottle.
Yeah,
yeah.
You could do extracts too.
Yeah.
So Loran extracts, you know, do some chocolate, some vanilla.
You could always Randall your beer through some Oreos.
That's Angela's job. Yeah, we're,
well,
we're,
then don't yeah, they don't they have, isn't there an Oreo cereal too?
Yes, there
Oreos.
Is.
We could use Oreos. Yeah. Yeah, we could do the
Oreo O's.
Is that what the name of it is?
Oreo O's.
I thought they were just Oreos.
No, the Oreo O's.
Is this where we make the obligatory cereal mash joke?
If she were here, yes. Because, yeah. I mean, you know, we need to start our French press Fridays and have her start just bringing things in.
Still
here.
Still waiting for that avocado.
No.
Avocado don't.
That's all fat.
So what have you guys been experimenting with this year, or this past year, I guess you could say, in regards to beers? Like something that maybe is out of your comfort level.
I don't know. What have we done like in the past year that's been crazy?
Pretentious Toad?
Yeah, we did. We did the triple for the Fall Beer Fest, the Pretentious Toad. We used a bunch of honey instead of beet sugar. To give it a little bit of a honey note. The name actually came, it's an inside joke at the brewery, from one of our bartenders' former jobs where someone referred to someone else as a pretentious toad and was calling people a bunch of names on Twitter and ended up getting themselves fired. She was telling us this one day and we're like, hey, pretentious toad would be a fun beer name. So
definitely sticks with you for sure.
But we did that one. We've got the Weapons Grade Winter Warmer making a comeback for the Winter Beer Fest again this year. That was the Ghost Pepper Barley Wine that we took out last year.
Wow.
Honey Imperial IPA?
Yep. Yeah, that's Daniel's first full all-him recipe.
Not to necessarily say it's a clone, but is it like a lot of like Hop Slam?
Kind of, but not as boozy and not as overly hoppy as Hop Slam, I would say. Very mild. You can't tell it's going to be 13%.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Damn.
Aren't you I'm supposed sold. To be able to tell that it's 13%?
I don't care. I'm sold.
Damn, 13%. Holy
so
shit.
Make sure you have a chair for Rob.
Yeah. Yep. He'll be on tap eventually in our tap room, so.
He'll probably just park himself at your booth.
I mean, at 13, I'm... Yeah.
It'll be the end for the day. You'll have that sip and you'll be done.
It'll be his first one, though, too.
That's fine. Like all beer fests, yes, the first beer that I have at a beer fest always seems to have to be at least 12%.
So what is, you know, talk to me about the beer festivals. What's beneficial for you guys when you guys attend the beer festivals? Like, what does it do for, you know, a small microbrewery in Dearborn to go out to Grand Rapids?
Gets our name out there, and we were shocked last year when we went out there at the number of people that used to live in Dearborn and live out on the west side of the state. And they're like, they'd come up and, oh, wow, you know, Dearborn's finally got a brewery. So it was really, you know, it helps get the word out, I think, is the big thing. Plus, it's just a lot of fun and I get to see a lot of friends. And I love going to the beer festivals. We just did the conference a couple weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great when you can get together with other people from other small breweries and kind of commiserate and go, oh, good, you guys make those mistakes too. It's not just us, you know. And it makes you feel like you're not out on an island, you know, dealing with all this crazy stuff all by yourself. You talk to other people and like, oh, you guys deal with that too. Okay, I feel better about it now. It still sucks, but at least it's not just us.
How has the Ginger Has No Soul gone over at the Fall Festival?
That went awesome. Over great. I think I finally stopped getting the death threats from some of the Mug Club members because it isn't on yet. But
I thought there was going to be death threats for other reasons, but because it's not right. on,
God.
We have souls. Damn it.
It was really great when a ginger person would come up and say, like, someone told us we had to try this beer. And it's just like, yes, get over here.
See? That.
What color is it? Like a pale or is it like an auburn color?
It's bad.
Yeah, it's a nice, vibrant red colored beer.
Was there any ginger made in it?
No, it was...
Not the type of people, but
no,
the...
No, it was fresh ginger. So
way to go Soylent on that one.
Yeah,
I wasn't going for that. I was just curious if there's ginger in the beer.
No, we'll save that for the green beer.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, because we mentioned it in our Fall Beer Festival lineup.
We did, and thank you.
No problem.
We saw that, yeah.
We were curious to see how it's gone over, because we've had a lot of breweries reach out to us and say, you know, hey, thanks for doing this, because a lot of people will go to it, because we get about I want to say like 100,000 people look at that page, which is crazy for the amount of – I'm like, we just named 20 beers. We're not doing any research on this stuff. We're like, oh, this looks like –
20 funniest named beers.
Yeah, 20 funniest are like – it's when you're going through the beer fest list and you're seeing beers and you're like – you're seeing maybe a little brief description. You're like, that actually sounds really good. Like if we saw worth last week, Nowhere in Particular, the milkshake mango IPA with lactose and vanilla – I'd be like, all right, I don't like it, but I'll try it.
Right.
It just seems so weird. So that's pretty much what we do.
I've actually kind of come to recognize some of that with the beer fests coming from the auto industry. The beer fests are a lot like the auto show now, where if you just show up with like your normal, you know, production stuff, everyone just kind of looks at it and goes, eh. Nothing to see here, you know, move along.
Right.
So the beer fests have really kind of become, what kind of crazy stuff can we do to get noticed?
That's the one thing I don't understand with a lot. Well, you know, for you guys, you have a small distro to where no matter what, a lot of people are going to be trying your stuff. But when Atwater comes out with Purple Gang Pills or Bell's comes out with Oberon, I'm like, I've had this beer. I can go get it right next door on draft no matter what. Or the next two doors down because it's Oberon. Like, right. I just don't understand why they bring some of those beers. But at some point, a lot of people like the beer, and they're gonna drink it anyways.
Yeah. Right. And plus, I think, you know, with having to make it through 2 days, they got to bring at least one thing that is recognizable. And then, you know, obviously have those other experimentals and say, you know what? All right, I had my Oberon. Let me grab this, whiskey barrel cherry stout just to give this a shot.
That must be from the either the Fall Beer Festival or the Winter Beer Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the whiskey barrel. Are you guys barrel aging anything for the Winter Fest?
No, not this year. We're making inquiries on some barrels and trying to figure out where the hell we would put them
at the brewery.
But. I agree. I did the tour of your brewery. I walked both to the left and to the right, yeah. And I saw
actually,
everything.
Ken, we both did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we at the when we were there for Midwest Media Expo.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
just use them as tables.
Yeah. Not too much room.
No.
Well, that's what...
That's okay.
I was going to say North Center Brewing, one of our sponsors. You can go check them out over on North Center Road, just south of Baseline. They have the ones that they just tapped last week. They were hiding them in plain sight right under their shuffleboard table.
I was going to say, they don't have a lot of room either.
You go left, and then you see the entire brew space. You go right, and you see this little
roof.
Kitchen.
The roof.
A little cold up there.
Roof aged. Yeah, that would be interesting.
I could just see the temp. Just the changes of temp would just be ridiculous.
Yeah,
maybe that would be fun.
I think you'd be wasted. I think you would skunk your beer faster than anything.
I don't know if you'd skunk it because it wouldn't get light.
Oh, we could do that. Lacto?
Put a beer on the roof.
Fiddler on the roof.
The roof is on fire.
We don't need no water.
Exactly.
We're going to have to talk to the landlord and see, talk to Chuck about getting a high-low to get it up there on the roof.
What, just put like a
just don't talk
up?
To him about getting it back. And you're like, well, I assumed we would get it back one day.
Right.
So you guys have been open for about 2 years?
2.5.
Okay, so what is the biggest thing that you've learned since opening?
There's a lot more paperwork than I thought there was going to be.
How so?
Just the tax stuff, and as we've gotten busier, and Gail and Daniel are brewing damn near every week now, just keeping up with the invoices, the packing slips, the inventory, it's all administrative work for me now. I like to joke. It's like, yeah, I got promoted to paperwork. And somehow I still don't seem to have any more time to relax or, do anything fun.
Now, does your boss let you drink while you do your paperwork?
Once in a while, but then she gets a little cranky if I have too many.
So what is there a moment when you opened or when you were starting that you said, this is why I do what I do? Have you had that like moment of clarity or self-assurance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a bunch of times. We've actually got someone from U of M Dearborn working with us on some marketing things right now. And he was talking to me the other night about, being an entrepreneur and stuff like that. It's part of the program that he's in. And yeah, there's just something, and it's not an arrogance, and I don't even know if it's a pride thing, but when you walk in, like when we walked in tonight, we were off dropping off the grains, and you walk in and you see people have tables pulled together and the bar is full and people are just there having a good time. You just kind of look around and go, wow, I actually pulled this off. You know, this is there's just something there where you created something. You know, you're filling a need in your community, and it's just a feeling I can't really describe.
So over to the brewers, is there any recipe that you guys are hiding or kind of sitting on that you're about to, you know, try to sell? this is the moment you can put them on the spot and say, hey, I really want to do this kind of beer. And we are recording, I believe, so you can't renege.
Of course there are many, many recipes.
Well, I know we're getting our small wine license soon, or we're working
hopefully,
on
yeah,
that.
We're working on it.
More paperwork.
Yeah. More paperwork.
As long as the government doesn't shut down again, we might get it in a couple weeks or so.
We won't get into that. When we were opening, they were flirting with that when we were applying for our TTB's Brewers Notice originally. Back, this would have been about three and a half years ago when the application was in, and every time I would hear them start talking about that on the news, I'm not kidding you, you'd start seeing this nervous twitch start developing above my eye. Like, don't do it, dear God, don't do it.
But yeah, one day, wine, cider, kombucha, all of the above at Dearborn Brewing, so
nice.
I'm excited for that.
Gail, is there anything in your back pocket that you've always wanted to play with but just never had the chance?
Oh, there's so many. So many of
what we have 2 hours, so go feel free.
So many of what I really want to do is session beers, and I have a real passion for that. I think that we don't get enough attention for our session beers. They are very drinkable. You could come in, you could have many pints of them, which, of course, from a brewer standpoint, you know, from an owner standpoint, really lends to some cash flow.
And then there's Daniel over here trying to bomb everybody on one pint.
Yeah. Yeah, one pint, you're good.
Challenge accepted.
Are you also running an Uber service by chance?
I was thinking about that, but I was thinking Lyft, you get more money. So.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Or you could just rent a rickshaw and just take them right down Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, I should go talk to the city about those pedal pubs or something, you know.
Yeah, the bikes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So when you talk sessions, and I know session IPAs are really huge, but thinking about maybe moving into like session stouts or sours or?
I love sours. And anything from 3.2 up to like 5.2, that's my passion. And that's what I really like to do. And that's what I really experiment with. I love sours. And that's kind of where my mindset is.
Do you want to – are you a proponent of putting fruit in the sours, or do you want the sour to speak for itself?
I like half and half. I like to do like half sour and half fruit, and then we can compare and see what comes from that. I've got quite a few in my basement.
Did you bring
half
any?
And halves? No, I didn't. Sorry.
Okay.
As Matt is sitting here drinking Bell's Larry's.
Yeah, I'm trying. I saw it. I figured I'd grab it. I've heard terrible things about it, so I figured I'd.
And?
It's not bad. I was actually over in Grosse Pointe, and I had the IPA Sour by Jolly Pumpkin, which is probably the weirdest wrestling match my palate's ever done with itself. Because on one point, you get the hops, and then you get a kick to the face with just that
like
sour note.
Coco Beware comes out. And
Coco Beware.
You get the 619 from the sour.
Oh, my gosh.
So what have you learned, though? Is there something that has really kind of been a prevailing theme, maybe that you've had to adjust since opening up the brewery?
It's more complicated.
Okay, how so?
I originally thought, you know, the bigger system. You know, I would joke that, you know, it's still driving. It's just the difference between driving a Fiesta and a Freightliner, but they're
huge.
When you
huge.
Ken looks confused.
When you scale up like that and some of the differences in equipment and things like that. When we opened, I think we found pretty much every Achilles heel in that system one by one as they caused problems for us. And we just worked through getting everything cleaned up and figured out. So it was really a learning experience. it was one that I really wanted to get out of the way before we got the doors opened. But our contractor being what they were, we told them, you know, first things first, get the brew house up and running so we can get that dialed in and get things, you know, get to practicing on it. And so naturally it was the very last thing they ever worked on. So, but they're happily not causing problems for anybody anymore.
So are you still brewing on your original system that you guys installed and started it on?
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah. What advice would you have to someone that is just beginning to start a brewery or considering, you know, starting? What landmines did you step on that you look back on and said, oh, I could have easily just changed and done it this way and not ran into that?
You know, equipment-wise and that, I don't think it was too much. It was just the unfamiliarity and having to jump right in because, frankly, we had been delayed to the point where it was like, okay, we either open now and start getting some revenue in or this thing is, you know, dead and gone before it ever even gets off the ground. We were that close to insolvency.
It seems like a lot of breweries kind of get to that point.
And I think, you know, and that goes back to the whole, you know, estimate how much money you think you're going to need, then double it type of advice, which is really good advice, but especially coming out of a recession, it's a lot easier said than done. You know, we talk to banks on a regular basis about just refinancing things and that, you know, just like any, you know, business would these days. But we still get places like, oh, well, you haven't been, you know, doors open for 3 full years yet, so we can't talk to you. Like, okay, well, I'll go down the street and I'll find someone who will, and nice knowing you. You know, don't come back in 5 years and go, hey, we can really help you. But, yeah, there's – might have changed the design around a little bit. Would definitely have liked a better drainage system in the back of the brewery. But
sure.
Who
maybe
knows
slope
if –
slope floors.
They were supposed to be. Again – contractor, and that was just a nightmare that, you know, I could probably write a book on. And they came very highly recommended. They'd done a bunch of work for a bunch of people that I talked to, and they all had nice things to say. But at the point that they got to us, they had overextended themselves, and they were out running around trying to find other jobs to get deposits on so they could pay their people to come. You know, and they started forgetting to show up and work on the jobs they had contracts for. So,
did you not tell them that you had beer?
Well, I kept telling them that if they'd finished the brew house, you know, we could make beer. But yeah, it just got to the point where it was infuriating. I mean, you had to basically show up every morning and babysit to make sure they actually showed up, you know, 7:30 and actually started working on the job and everything. And so it was a nightmare at that point. But we got through it and got the doors open. And now, you know, now we just try to get a bit better each day.
How many taps you guys got going right now?
Right now we have 12 going. We have a jockey box sitting on the counter, and we're running 2 taps off of that, too.
Nice.
So what took you into brewing?
Well, I did one home brew at my house, and I used Mr. Beer Kit. Came
yes.
out horrible.
The kit.
Put it in mason jars, and they all exploded. And I was I need to figure out how to do this.
Damn.
So I heard on the radio Schoolcraft College opened up a brewery and they're starting a brewing program. So I was like, I'll go look to see how this was. And they're like, well, in 2 semesters, you can have a certificate and I guarantee you a job in a brewery. I'm like, sign me up. So
and the rest is what they say is history, right?
Yeah.
That's a pretty ballsy
history.
Guarantee.
Yeah, it is.
I was going to say, if I was you, I would have been so skeptical, like, gotta guarantee me a job in a brewery? What brewery?
Yeah, they like, didn't tell me which one. So,
like, is it like a brewery that's scheduled to be open in 2020, or like, what's the timeline on this brewery that I can get a job in?
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, getting a recommendation from Annette May is pretty big in regards to who she is and what she represents within the community.
Yeah.
And all her knowledge that she knows, like, she is huge in regards to promoting women in the business as well as the business itself.
Shout out. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I met her at Merchants when she was working at Merchants.
Same here.
Yep. I think everyone has a story of her at Merchants.
Oh yeah, she gave me a talking to when I went in there looking for Black Note. Oh,
that was rough. Hold on, time out. Let's hear this story. Let's cliff notes 30 seconds.
It was pretty short. It was just I basically called you dumb. A friend of mine, we had gone to Sidetrack out in Ypsilanti for a Bell's beer pairing. And it was one of the few times I'd ever even had a taste of Bell's Black Note. And I had heard through the grapevine at that point, and of course I was not a part of any of the Facebook groups, but it had come to me that it was a possibility that Black Note was coming out again. So I had stopped in there, and I had approached her. I asked her, hey, I was curious if you're aware of at any point is Black Note coming out. And as pretty, I guess, Annette fashion, I just put it like that. She just pretty much looked at me and said, I have absolutely no idea when it's coming out. Why are you even asking me this? This is not this. We don't know. We don't know. I'm like, ooh. I was like, shit, I just came in here asking about the beer. And just like, I was like, all right, I'm just going to.
I'm sure you were probably the 50th person that day
probably
asking for that beer, too.
And I have. It's okay if, you know, running into that, you know, people have their bad days. And, you know, it certainly did not stop me from going in there to shop again, thinking, oh my God, I can't believe how fucking rude she was. Like, no, it's like, you know, people have their crazy ass days. I'm like, this, if she doesn't know, she doesn't know. That's what I took from it. But it was just like, damn, she's just raw today.
Yeah, I've learned.
Was she delirious as well?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Like, for me, in regards to, like, those types of beers, I follow a handful of Facebook pages like Holiday or 8 Degrees or Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills just south of M59 on Rochester Road.
Nice.
Go check out Jack. He always posts when he gets the good stuff, the new stuff.
Yeah, he does. The wall of juice.
We share it so you guys can see it as well.
Yep. So that's what I do is I follow those pages. And that when it's something really off the wall, like, does this distro here, does this exist in Michigan? That's when I'll call or I'll be like, hey, can you get – is this possible to get? Because if it's possible to get, Jack can get it. And that doesn't just go for like beer. That goes for liquor. Mm-hmm. That goes for wine. Just like my mother had some type of like blackberry or, you know, some type of really weird fruit wine, mm-hmm. and there we couldn't find any. And I finally found one in mid-Michigan, like near kind of like where the like Midland, Bay City area.
Yeah.
And he found it. He got it. And now my mother goes there once a week to get her bottle of wine. So maybe less. Well, I shouldn't say my mother. My father will go pick it up for her. Bring it. My mom's not a big drinker, so it takes her like an entire week and a half to finish one bottle of wine. She'll have like a half a glass every other day. But that's the thing is that – and you guys were talking about it with the ginger has no soul and having a beer, but you just can't procure it. You can't make it. You can't make it fast enough or you can't keep it on tap long enough because, one, you have all these other beers that you have to make, you have to produce, and you can't just overmake it because, you know, the second you overmake it is the second that it's going to stop selling. Just ask who makes pumpkin?
Southern Tier.
Yeah. And all those 2016 bottles of Southern Tier pumpkin that's still laying around in shelves.
Somewhere.
Yeah. That pumpkin fad came and went so fast. It was ridiculous.
Thank God it just left.
Thankfully.
I like pumpkin beers, so
I don't like anything pumpkin.
Much.
Everything pumpkin is bad.
Let's say I got one at home. I'll give you that one.
Okay.
All right, fine.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Hey, that is my line.
You steal my line at the end of every show.
Oh, nice job, Matt. You knocked the microphone over and then hit the damn bell.
I saved it.
All right.
You knocked it over.
Thanks, Zach.
Well, guys, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast. And we are back, Better on Draft Podcast, episode 119, Dearborn Brewing, still in studio with us. Thank you very much. So before we kind of go back and ask you guys a few more questions, because I know we want to talk a little bit more to your brewers, I definitely had an interesting week, to say the least. So I was in Asheville, and I don't know if you guys have ever been to Asheville before.
You went to a Budweiser plant.
Well, technically, yes. going to Asheville... So there's this area in Asheville where there's a good 10 breweries within walking distance of each other. And not like oh, I could walk that. No, they're like 2-3 blocks each away from each other. And I'm going there, so I started off at Wicked Weed, which the beer was really, really good. I had the brown ale, which was an American style, so I was sad. But they had like a French toast porter, I believe, which was really Ooh. On point. And then a Banana Foster's Hefe.
What?
And I was not expecting something good, but it was definitely the best beer there for sure.
Wow.
So I got to talking, and I'm talking to the bartender. And I'm like, you know, what happened when it was announced that Anheuser-Busch purchased you guys? And he said, well, the very first day, we were dead. People did not come in. People were pissed. People were angry. I guess the city of Asheville is angry because the city of Asheville doesn't want big-named brewery, not big, or big-named corporations, I should say, within its entire city.
To that.
Do they have a Walmart?
I don't think so. I think the Walmart was outside the city limits.
Okay. So the entire point of business and commerce, I'd like to do a little PSA for Asheville, North Carolina. If any business is really good, it becomes popular and it becomes a big business. Just in case, you know, they
I think they were going for like the big businesses, like your Walmarts, your I'm trying to think of what else.
Is Amazon allowed to ship there?
I would assume so.
Are they allowed to wear Nikes?
They're not. They don't have property there. That's the point, is to not have property there.
You're basically okay. like big box stores, and you know, like your Walmart,
like a Best Buy,
they probably have Best Buy,
and you get out.
Don't make me mute Nick's mic too.
That was completely the wrong accent, by the way. Continuing on.
So went to Wicked Weed, and you know the guy was telling me it was dead the first day. And then everyone pretty much forgot about it. Like, he said, the first few weeks it was a little rough in regards to, like, tips were down, business was down. And then everything was business as usual a couple weeks later. And he said, you know, a few things are different. It's getting a little more corporate-y in regards to the employees. But he's like, but now I have health benefits and all these other I'm like, I didn't even think of that. In regards to the fact that when a business like Anheuser-Busch buys you, you're going to have health benefits because they have to give it to you because they're that big of a company.
Right.
So
are they also – like I know here in Michigan, you get like $2.65 if you're like in the wait staff and then you live off tips. Do they have a regulated wage now?
Did not know if they have a regulated wage. I would assume that their wage is probably the same. In regards to how much they were making, so if it was like a tipped wage versus a minimum wage, then they were making probably the tipped wage or whatever. I mean, bartenders usually make a little bit more than the tipped wage anyways wherever you go. But the entire place was really nice. Walked in. Didn't have any food there. Ate at another brewery, which I'll bring up in just a moment. So went there, went to the Funkatorium. We took a video of it and showed you guys their giant room of barrels that they're making beer in. And it was crazy because people were packed. Like, the whole place was packed. All these breweries were packed. And this is like a Tuesday night, too. I went to Twin Leaf, Burial. I went to a place called Tasty Beverage, which is kind of like imagine 8 Degrees Detroit, but spread out.
Like a party source.
Yeah. But so there was like a bunch of draft there. I had CBS there. It was just kind of sitting there like, oh, hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Oh, you know what that reminds me of? Champagnes.
Champagnes, yeah.
Oh, geez. R.I.P.
So they had Abyss, I believe. All the variants of Abyss just from sitting the on the shelf.
Wow.
Yeah. Like the rum barrel, the whiskey barrel, the tequila barrel. And I'm like,
that whiskey barrel's amazing.
I'm like, oh, well, I wish I had space to take you home. So through my whole thing, I ended at White Labs, which is this like yeast and. It's like a science place that like,
yep,
cultivates yeast and does all these other things, and they make beer. And their beers were pretty good. They had 2 alts on draft, which was ridiculous.
So you were in heaven.
I was. I was, but it was
this
my last.
This is where God brought me on purpose.
It was my last stop, so I only had 1 beer. But, man, that entire – like, we skipped over breweries to hit other breweries. So this is definitely a place I did not get to go to. What I was informed the correct nickname is Malt Disney World,
oh, okay.
Which is Sierra Nevada.
Can I ask you what brand of hotel you stayed in?
I was in a motel Holiday Inn. Okay. Express.
But what you're saying is it went up on a Tuesday.
That's the club. The club went up on a Tuesday.
Oh, sounds like Walt Disney World went as well.
So, Walt Disney World, I missed going to Sierra Nevada. I missed going to New Belgium while I was out there because I definitely had a fun time that first day. I got to meet. So, did you guys know that there's a Guinness brewery coming to the United States?
Yes. I believe it's supposed to be hopping up in Maryland, isn't it?
Baltimore. Yeah. Yes. The Puritans. For some godly reason, they're going to Baltimore.
They changed the laws out there to be able to accommodate them.
Really?
Yes.
I did not. So I got to meet the marketing manager over at Guinness, Diageo. I was mispronouncing it wrong the whole night.
Diageo.
Diageo. I was still mispronouncing it the entire. He was correcting me every single time, and it was funny. I just couldn't do it. Just couldn't like baff and buff and just couldn't get past it. So he was out there doing research, and I was enjoying his research because I was like, yeah, I'm doing research too, I guess, for my show. But I do highly suggest going out to Asheville. If you start at Wicked Weed, you can hit 10 breweries just walking one to one and then Uber back to your hotel. For sure, because I was not I was feeling it the next morning for sure. Feeling 6 a.m. rolled around pretty early, and I'm like, whoa.
They always say hangovers are happiness borrowed from tomorrow.
Happiness borrowed from tomorrow. Where'd you get that one from?
I don't know. I might have read it on a meme somewhere. We might have even posted it at some point.
I was going to say, did you post it today, and I just didn't
know? Not recently, no. That was...
So... let's start with the youngin. Have you been to any of these beer meccas like a Grand Rapids or?
I went to Kalamazoo. Me, my dad, and my mom.
Did you get a
my
passport?
My mom was the DD. Yeah, we did get a passport. We hit about 17 breweries in about 36 hours.
Damn, I've been there 3 times, and my passport maybe has like 6 stamps.
Yeah, so we had a DD because my mom doesn't like beer as much. So she would try their root beer or a water or something. But me and my dad would get a flight of every single beer at each place. So,
oh, jeez.
I don't remember about half the places we went to.
So I was going to say, well, was good. I was going to think,
you remember
what's
that
the...
habanero one, though?
Ooh, the habanero beer was very good from One Well.
One Well?
I still
One
need well. To go there.
There was, so the is, Hideout or Hideaway Brewery in Grand Rapids.
Hideout.
Yeah, they do the flight ski or flight paddle or whatever, which is like all 40 of their beers in a flight.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, well, when I went there, they ran out of, they ran out of electricity. Their electricity went out.
Somebody stop cranking in the back.
Still best customer service I ever had. Because I walked in with only so much cash. He's like, how much you got? $10. What do you want? Well, typically I do a flight and a pint. He's like, all right, you got it. I'm like, all right. Here's my
$10. So if you do all 40 on the ski, do you get a new liver to go along with that?
I know. Or? I mean, at least, you know, throw in some t-shirts for the kids or something.
Throw t-shirts for the kids.
Trick a lot of kids.
Damn. I definitely need to, next time I get out there, I need to go to One Well because if you remember, they were at the Fall Beer Fest. And they had that one beer that was brewed with Sweetwater.
Was it Well?
Yeah, no, it was brewed with Sweetwater just donuts, and it was.
So I've been to One Well.
It was freaking amazing.
I've been to One Well,
and
it's kind of nondescript. It's in a strip mall. It's just a face in a strip mall, and they just knocked down part of the wall and they took over the spot next door.
Yeah, that's
so,
fine.
I mean,
the rule. If you like it,
it's good beer.
Thank you.
I think I did have the donut beer. I don't recall like saying, oh my God, great, this is awesome. But I don't think it was.
Did you dunk the donut in the beer?
No, I was told. So when you walk in, they pretty much sell you beer when you walk in as opposed to letting you sit down.
What an art van?
No, it's more like a.
Like Easter Market.
More like Canada? No. It's like, hey, welcome to One Well. What would you like? Go sit down. Kind of like when you go to Canada, there's a 2-beer cover. You know, they almost like,
you gotta buy the 2 beers from the waitress with the well of beer.
Yeah, so they're like, you have to have this donut beer. I'm like, that does not sound like the kind of beer I want. Oh, no, get the donut beer. I think it tasted more like a jelly beer, but filled. But
jelly donut.
So back to my Asheville, because things are coming back to me. I took photos so I would remember later. But I had a donut beer which had like a little
That's right. I did see that,
and I'm like, what do I do with this? Do I dunk the donut in the beer? Do I wait for it to end? And so I'm trying to like drink it with the donut still on the stick in the beer.
And how much white powder did you get on your nose?
Well, so it was almost like
I had a beer,
a Krispy Kreme like a glazed donut, not a, a powdered sugar donut.
Ah,
so, but yeah, oh my gosh, that beer, the beer was delicious. The donut, meh. I don't like sweets, so I was just...
Right.
I like sweet flavor, but I just don't like sweets. Like, I don't like chocolate. I don't like... Maybe because it's too rich.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the proper term or phrase. I don't know. I just don't
like a baker's nightmare.
I am. I can tell you stories after on the break for sure about being a baker's nightmare. Have you guys thought of doing anything experimental, kind of like the voodoo donut or...
Oh, God, no.
Chili sriracha beer?
We have a spicy beer, Weapon Grades Winter Warmer.
Well, we've got the Winter Warmer. I've been toying around with some other chili beer ideas and stuff like that, but we haven't gotten super crazy yet. We're working on it, kicking some ideas around.
No California Reaper beers?
No.
Carolina Reapers.
Carolina Reapers.
We're thinking about taking our Rouge River Red, adding some spicy peppers to it. Like Rouge on Fire.
Yeah, some cayennes or something. Call it the Rouge on Fire. Just because it'd be a fun name.
I still don't understand spice beers like pepper beers. It just bothers me.
Well, when I did the Winter Warmer, I set out, and sorry, Dad, I'm not trying to get you in trouble here, but we used to go snowmobiling when I was a little kid. He always had a thing of blackberry brandy in the little back thing.
And, you know,
you always get the little, you know, just the
little nip
to warm up. And, you know, I remember feeling it kind of, you know, just all the way down your chest as you, and that was the burn I was looking for with the Winter Warmer. And so we basically dry hopped it with the ghost peppers. And then, you know, it's the brewing industry. It's a rough job. Someone's got to do it. But we checked that beer every single day. Okay. Is it ready? Is it ready? Because I didn't want it to be the, you know, blow the side of your face off spicy that some beers that I've had have been.
Right.
And so it finally got to the point where it's like, no, not today, not today. Okay, today. No, we need to rack it now, right now, and get it off the peppers and all of that. And I was really happy with where it landed. And people would just buy it like in the little 5-ounce samplers, and they'd get another beer to go with it. And it was like a little beer and a shot. They'd just, you know, kind of go back and forth in the tap room, so... I'm going to try and recreate it again this year.
Nice. It's going to be some nice... I don't know. I kind of like the hot beers. So, unlike Ken over here, I will definitely take, like, Odd Size Firefly. That's definitely one of my favorites.
I had Dragon Mead's Ring of Fire, and that was the second worst experience I ever had with beer.
What is the first?
It involved a pepper beer at the Fall Beer Festival, which destroyed my taste buds for the entire festival.
Was that the ghost pepper one like 2 years ago?
No, this was a couple years ago, like 4 or 5. I went with some friends, and somebody's like, here, try this. And I just didn't think anything of it. And I just took a sip, and it hit my tongue, and it was the worst experience ever.
You know, it's just so funny to hear that you and I, when we say the worst experience ever with beer, we're polar opposites.
Well, you went to Central.
Right.
Yes,
mine involved 30 racks and bad times.
Oh, forget it.
Keg stands.
Well, I'm sure I have some stories, not to match yours, but on that same scale, like that side of the spectrum. But no, like my worst experience is still just bad. Like, you can have a bad beer and it can ruin your night. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I've had a beer, like, bad beers that just destroy my taste buds and just ruin.
You know, I can't recall ever having a bad beer. Like, I always tell the story of the reason why I don't like dark beers is because when I went through Germany, I was in Cologne hanging out, and instead of just going down and getting a Kolsch, the common area of every hotel has a beer cooler, and I grabbed a Guinness thinking, oh, this will just be fine. So I was drinking a Guinness like it would be a German Kolsch, and the viscosity and the dirtiness of the milky sockiness of the Guinness completely turned me off to stout beers. But that didn't stop me from grabbing another beer and saying, all right, well, let's try this again.
I don't know. I've literally had beers where I've had one beer and it's ruined. I just, like, I don't want to drink anymore. I'll have a water.
I think anybody who's judged, especially at, like, homebrew meetings or competitions, has had a bad beer. I probably think the worst couple of words you ever hear at a homebrew meeting are, something's wrong with this. Here, try it.
So being part of the Motor City Mashers for since their founding, I mean, there are some horrible beers that I can think of. And one of them, it wasn't a horrible beer, but it was like over the top. And it was spiced over the top. And it just ruined your palate for the entire night. It was a good beer, but you couldn't taste anything beyond that.
And that's the thing, is the lingering flavors. But in regards to beer and bad beer, and we can definitely segue into this, what is up with all the drain pouring videos lately?
There's been a lot on some of the Facebook groups the last couple of weeks.
Let's start with the three. Have you guys ever drain poured a beer before? Like, it was so bad that you couldn't finish it and you just dumped it?
As a
home brewer, yeah, and they were my own.
Okay, that's
especially the ones where. Back 2004, we moved, and it must have gotten boxed up. And like 2010, I'm like digging through a box, and the thing's been in the shoved in the corner. And it's like,
I can only imagine.
And it's like, oh god, this was not a beer that should have been aged. And
so then you have to try it just for science.
Yeah, you try it, and it's like, oh no.
But I mean, like, I'm talking like a major beer. Like, you went out and you grabbed a Shorts, the Double Magician, which is just what happened. I'm drinking right now.
Is it delicious?
I actually like it. I don't know why I say I actually like it, as if I shouldn't like it. It's not an IPA. but yeah, like, I just don't understand
commercially. No, I don't think I've ever really poured one.
I was gonna
out.
Say you probably haven't even had a beer yet. What about you?
I actually have.
You've had a beer. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, but it was
she's starting to build a pyramid of cups in front of her over there.
No, it was actually a brewery that I really love on tap, but I don't like in the bottles. And I
so you're saying it's better on draft?
Yes. And I had one nice. In the bottle that I was like, meh, yeah. Going down the drain.
So there's this. It's rare. I don't know how much you guys may pay attention to the internets and the Facebook groups, the fan groups, I should say, not like the collectible groups or anything like that. But there's this trend of people who are literally, they don't like a beer or a beer that they've aged turned sour, and they'll literally take a video of themselves dumping a beer. And
I've seen that.
I don't get it.
Neither do I.
Makes me sad when they pour beer down the drain.
The only time I've ever dumped a beer is when I didn't finish it because I may or may not have
passed out.
Yeah, yeah. May or may not have passed out. And I woke up and that beer is still halfway full. And I'm like,
You know what? I think what's really frustrating is because it's not what the brewer intended. And, you know, you can dump it because the brewer didn't intend it. But sometimes the brewer didn't intend a certain beer, but it ends up to be a really, really good beer.
And that's along with that, like, the brewer doesn't intend for you to age the beer unless it says to age the beer. Like, I only know one beer off the top of my head that says age, and that's Dogfish Head 120.
120, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what I've learned about brewers? If they don't want you to drink that beer then, they don't release it till they've aged it, typically, to Correct. Where you want to drink it.
Right.
So they're typically not just putting beer out there for anyone to just...
I think that's why I've stopped Celery, and I've stopped, as much as I didn't get as crazy as some people I know, I stopped collecting beer. I stopped chasing after beer because, one, there's just so many beers out there to try. There's so many breweries out there for, you know, at least people like us who are blessed to be in Metro Detroit, and we can go, you know, 20 minutes in one direction and pass by five breweries everywhere we go.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I'm a big practitioner of the unintentional cellaring. You know, he'll be cleaning out the basement, you know, every so often. Yeah. Like, oh, I still have a couple yep. of those. Whoops.
Had that happen every time. Every time.
That's happened a few times, but again, that's not... That was unintentional.
Yeah.
You weren't planning. You weren't, oh, I'm going to save that. Because I think a lot of that also comes from the fact that once you start saving it, you've put that beer on such a pedestal that, one, the flavor is not going to match up to whatever you want most of the time. Or it's going to be something completely different than what the brewer intended. Right. Or it's just really, really, it's not bothersome, but I feel like it's wasteful in regards to what the brewery intended. Now, there are people who I know who sell their beer because they just buy too much, but they're also the same type of people, like, if somebody wants the beer, they'll open the beer. Or if they have the beer and somebody else wants it, they'll trade the beer, and they're not going to trade it for over value, like, haha, I've got this beer and you don't, so I'm going to make sure that you don't get.
But I mean, what if the beer is just too big? I mean, that's part of, I think, from some of the articles that I've seen, where a lot of breweries have started to go away from the bombers, because, you know, you have this beer that's down there, but, you know, like Evil Twin Molotov Cocktail Heavy, that's a double IPA that's 17.2. I can't take that on my own, and my wife doesn't drink. So, you know, I need some buddies to come over to help me do the buddy system on this thing, because, or else I'm falling out.
Well, that's the thing. So when the last time I had a bomber like that to myself, I had Perrin's Big Grizz.
Love Big Grizz. Getting ready to release that again.
And I had it on my birthday, and I had this giant glass, and I just poured the entire bomber into this giant glass. And I was drinking that for like 2.5 hours, but that was it. Like, I wasn't going to have any more beers, because I knew if I did, I was going to get completely, like, blitzed.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in the mood to get blitzed. And, like, I feel like as I've gotten older, I've definitely felt I don't like the feeling of being drunk anymore. I hate it. Oh, my gosh. When I was younger, yeah. I loved it. I mm-hmm. loved being tipsy, feeling loose, having fun with friends, because I was never really drinking by myself. Mind you, I was going out 6 nights a week. So there's not much drinking you could do by yourself when you're out 6 nights a week.
Right.
But now, minus – so, like, the whole thing that happened in Asheville, I was intending on hitting two places. I was intending to hit Wicked Weed and then driving over to New Belgium. Like, have a beer at Wicked Weed, go to New Belgium, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I ran into the Diageo.
Diageo, hey, dude.
Guy, and we decided to just
it's a Christmas miracle.
Make it this entire night. But going back to, like, drain pouring and pouring out these beers, like, it's so hard for me to just dump a beer, especially if I bought it.
Especially, yeah, with how much those things cost. I mean, I still feel the one where the dude drain poured a CBS, which I kind of feel like that whole thing was just staged, and he just filled that. He just basically went to Costco and got himself a big ass bottle of soy sauce, filled it up, and wanted to dump it just to pretend that he was dumping it.
But is that like then the people that go and buy Apple products and bash them in front of the people sitting in line?
I mean, oh my gosh, the smashmyipod.com or whatever.
Smash my iPad, yeah.
Yeah, I guess
I forgot all about that group, because they used to have a website forever, smashmyps3.com, smashmywii.com. Oh, my God. I forgot all about that. Now,
clean up.
It's definitely interesting to equate it, but it's hard to – I don't know. Like, you were talking about accidental cellaring. Have you cellared before and, like, on purpose, I guess you could say?
A little bit.
Do you still –
Not so much anymore.
Is it because you work in a brewery, or
I just don't have time to get to the beer store and buy a bunch of stuff to sit on it for a while.
Is there anything that you've made that you're still sitting on from a year or two ago? Maybe like your first batch of something that's just in a corner somewhere. They're shaking their heads yes, so don't lie to me now.
Yeah, we have
stuff. What are you hiding?
We have stuff laying around for different reasons. Either, you know, something went wrong, or we, you know, decided it wasn't something we wanted to keep on tap anymore.
Have you guys had a happy accident yet?
Yeah.
Belgian table beer?
Yep.
Really?
So I have a Motor City Mashers barrel from 2008, 2009 on.
Why don't you tell everyone what Motor City Mashers is?
So that's my homebrew club, and we have an awesome barrel, and I've got all of them back from the original barrel initiation, and we've got all of those ready to go. So I am very, very pleased to do that, and if we can release any of them anywhere, I think that would be a great vertical.
You need
vertical tasting.
You need probably something, someplace with a lot of taps, like Brown Iron Brewhouse, which has 60 9 taps in Washington.
I don't know.
Michigan.
I feel like every time I say 69 taps, I'm corrected and it's something else.
Well, it's 66 and 4 outside.
So that's 70.
Yes. Yeah, but it's one split, so it's 69.
One split? Where is it split?
That way.
Well, if it's split, then wouldn't it be 71?
Damn it, I'm just telling you, it's 60, 69 taps in Washington Township.
Weren't you there not too long ago?
I was there on, yeah, I was there on Sunday for a funeral. That was lovely.
How was the poutine?
It was actually really good. Super good. The chef, that was a happy accident. Like, I was overly full, but I was like, you know, I'm going to power through this one. Because that's some good food.
That's definitely probably my favorite bar food is poutine. Not bar food, brewery food, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got its place. I think it's overly heavy, to be honest. You know, you can't go and have a heavy beer after you eat poutine.
Says who?
Sorry. But
nice big double oatmeal stout. And,
yeah.
You know,
like a poutine. Don't know that. Yeah.
Like a giant IPA and then just fries and cheese curds. This
double cream gravy stout.
You're going to need an extra stall in the men's room. Or the women's room, really.
Like, who does number two work for? Is that where you're going?
You do at that point.
Oh, my gosh. An Austin Powers reference.
Okay, Mike Myers. Jeez.
So, you've had happy accidents.
Yes, and unhappy ones.
And unhappy ones. Have you had beers that you expected, like, to turn out one way and it just was not anything that you expected? Like, to the point where either you just either renamed it, redid it, or just dumped it?
We've dumped batches. I mean, we have dumped batches where it just, you know, it's not right. It's not going to get better if we let it age, and it's not something we're going to put our name on. You know, we took a lot of lumps when we opened up. Most of them deservedly so for, you know, some of the problems we had with the beer. But as we've moved along, you know, yeah, we've definitely gotten to the point where it's like, nope, this one's not good enough. And it's, you know, you want to talk about a drain pour when you're talking 7 barrels. That's I didn't take a video because that's not something I want to be reminded of.
I was going to say, right. Yeah, that's...
It was really scary to say, yeah, I think we should dump this. That was horrible.
So I have an idea, and I think before we go to break, this might be something that you guys can do, because I feel like the next time it happens, have you ever heard of the term Selena scene? So it's this meme trend online where they do the Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On, like when Jack falls off into the water.
Oh, God.
So you have it go, and then when she screams out into her part of the chorus where it goes, You're here. Like, that's when you dump the barrel. Jesus. And I guarantee you could make some YouTube money off of that.
Or what you do is it's just the pan flute to you just raging, gushing into the drain.
If only our drains would handle that. I mean,
you only need to have like 45 seconds of the
pan flute.
Well, I mean, and a slope floor. Apparently, yeah. I guess just stand directly over the grates just to be able to do it.
Yeah, grates.
So, have you guys thought of bringing out contractors to fix the issues, or?
Yeah, it's just we're so small, and right now it's kind of a. It's an issue, but it's not the biggest thing we're dealing with. We can kind of work around it and make it work.
Was this the biggest deal? 17-year-olds brewing at your brewery?
Pretty much.
No, he's
not supposed to say it.
Daniel's been great.
I was going to say, you wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, you're still technically not the youngest brewer in the state.
No, I'm not even the youngest graduate from Schoolcraft College. So
that's. I don't know how I feel about that.
Someone was 20 and a half when they graduated.
Well, we've talked about it on this show. The old head brewer at Rare Bird used to be. Was 20 when I met him.
I think he was 14, actually.
He might have been. He definitely looked as if he should not have been brewing, but I guess as long as you have the right forms. Yeah. Are you sure you're 22?
Yeah.
What was the first beer you ever had?
The first beer I've ever had?
Yes.
Regardless of age. Just
Oh, regardless of age.
Regardless of age.
Let's see.
It's okay to say Bud Light.
It was probably Bud Light.
All right.
Mine was Smirnoff Ice Triple Black.
Ugh. See, mine would have been...
I'm going to show my age here.
I was 16. Shut the hell up, man.
I'm going to show my age here.
E and B?
Probably...
Black Label.
Yeah, like Black Label.
I was actually going to say Black Label, too.
Maybe even Old Milwaukee. I don't know.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, even better.
Molson Ice.
40s of Old Milwaukee.
Ooh.
Michelob. Lager.
First accidental beer.
How do you have an accidental beer? All right, let's.
In real life, it was beer.
It was at my family's family reunion, and a Budweiser didn't appear, like I didn't even pay attention, was in the soda, and I grabbed a red can thinking it was Coca-Cola and popped it up.
Bullshit.
Are you kidding? I gave it to my grandfather right away. It was the most disgusting thing in the world. That's why my first beer, like, drink after that, other than 7 and 7s, because I was, for some reason, drinking 7 and 7s when I was, like, 12. Mike's Hard Lemonade, for sure. That was my...
Yeah.
When you gave that beer to your grandpa, did you say this tastes like City Club?
Thankfully, at the age of 5, I did not know what City Club was.
Yeah, that changed.
Little did I know, 14 or 13 years later.
Wow.
Hanging out in the parking garage that is now DTE headquarters downtown.
That parking garage is actually belonging to MGM Grand.
Yes, it does.
Does it?
Yeah. That's their parking garage. That's not ours.
Oh.
No. Oh, no. The parking garage that was next to City Club.
Oh, yeah, that's, like, gone.
Yeah.
That's long gone.
I'm talking, like, 15 years ago.
That was, like, long before I got a job there.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Well, what was your first beer before we go to break?
Guinness, actually, was my breakthrough. That was my breakthrough. I was just talking about one of our really good up-and-coming brewers is probably 19 years old. She's a Shorts Brewing Fermenta member.
Sure. Nice.
And okay. She is going to be awesome as soon as she gets 21. So
nice.
You can definitely hear more about Shorts because we had Pauline on for Shorts.
Yep, twice.
And we had Pauline on for Fermenta.
2 weeks later.
Oh, hey, you're back.
Yeah. Hey.
What's going on? I guess we could have teamed up and did both of them in one.
Right.
But no, we were glad. She was a great interview. But we will be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back, episode 119 of the Better on Draft podcast. And as always, with segment 3,
it's 5 questions with Matt Bush.
Can we just record that drop? We don't even need to pay somebody $5. We got Rob.
Nope.
He's got those sexy baritones.
What was the guy's name?
Dude, you got to pay me at least $1,000 just to get out of bed.
Damn.
I believe somebody. I believe a famous model had said that once.
Who's the guy who does the Pillow Talk voice on 100.3?
Oh, jeez.
What was his name?
Alan Ullman.
Alan Ullman, yes.
With
Summer Madness playing in the background. Damn.
I remember that shit.
So before we get too far.
Pillow Talk.
Mm-hmm. We did NFL predictions before the season began.
Oh, Jesus.
Man, you actually kept that?
We did.
I don't even know what I put. I don't even want to know what I put.
Yeah, neither do I.
I wonder what I put.
Rob, do you want to guess what you chose?
Can I take a guess for him just to see if I was right? Does it involve Pittsburgh?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Rob, do you want to guess who you thought would be in the Super Bowl?
I mean, I think I pretty much just... that's right. I think I said it was just going to be a rematch.
You picked the Cowboys and the Raiders.
I did not pick the Cowboys. What?
You went for Dak?
Ken, do you want to know who you picked?
No.
You picked the Texans and the Seahawks.
What the hell was I drinking that night?
What the hell were we all drinking?
I am systematically programmed to hate the Cowboys. I wouldn't pick them for anything.
I want to see if it was a rematch.
Nick, you did pick a rematch. Atlanta, New England.
And then
I picked Kansas City versus Green Bay. So
am I the only one that got eight single team, right?
Yes. I can finally delete all of this.
So does that have to go on your iCloud backup anymore?
No, I don't have iCloud, although Ken did tell me that he once saw something from my phone that was on our iCloud. So maybe I do have an iCloud account.
Oh, God.
I am so ashamed. I have no idea why I would
so,
pick the Cowboys.
All right, so... Did a little bit of research. Being in Minnesota, we're gonna do a Price is Right style here.
Oh God!
How many registered craft breweries are in the state of Minnesota? I can either do. We can either do.
Let's do closest.
Closest to the pin, or I can do A, B, C, D.
No, just do closest.
Okay.
Yeah. CTP.
CTP?
Closest
all right.
to the pin.
Okay. So, Ken, you are to my left, so you go first.
I'm going to say the land of 10,000 lakes.
That's a lot of water.
Means there is
not 10,000
150 breweries.
223.
210.
Gail.
131.
Rob?
I was going to pull a card sharks and go a little bit lower. A little bit lower. I was going to 116.
135.
Shouldn't one person have said, you know, one?
One.
Just because there's always the one person that says
if we were doing True Prices Right, I would have totally done one.
One brewery, Bob. One brewery.
And if someone said one before me, I would have said, screw you. Go for two.
Right, two.
You guys are all over. The answer is 109.
109, really?
Really. Who was closest?
Rob, 116.
116.
Damn.
So that is according to Wikipedia, so that could be correct. That could be not. Who knows? That could have been edited.
Let's check the Brewers Association, I'm sure.
Hold on a second. Let's go check Wikipedia in about 2 minutes. I need to.
Oh, don't let get me started on that.
Let me log into my Wikipedia.
I deal with so much of that as it is.
All right. So,
Wikipedia.org.
Okay. Facebook was splattered today with the Wing Bowl 26. Did anybody see this?
I don't even know what the Wing Bowl 26
so,
is.
26.
Obviously, there's 26
not,
of them, and I missed
Google,
the first 25.
Do not Google. So,
shit.
Wing Bowl 26 is the annual chicken wing eating competition that is held
Wing Bowl.
In okay. Philadelphia the day or the weekend before the Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
It had to be extra special
so,
considering.
30 minutes you get to eat as many wings as you can. Let's go ahead and do this circle game. Let's do this Price is Right again. Ken, the winner had 30 minutes to eat as many chicken wings as they could. And how many did they
never
get?
Seen a man eat so
Actually,
many
you know
chicken
what?
Wings.
We're going to start with Nick. We're going to go counterclockwise. Nick, so... Go ahead and...
I got that.
Did you really?
I got that.
It's the South Park reference.
Yep.
How... Number of
How
wings
many chicken wings eaten...
In a half hour.
In a half hour.
No, when you say wing, do you mean like...
I don't
the
know.
The thigh, the middle, and...
I don't know. I just read chicken wing... X plus
are they
eight,
boneless?
X, probably not. Those are called chicken nuggets.
Do they eat the bone?
I'm going to guess no. That would probably be... A health hazard.
I'm going to go ahead and say...
It's going to be nauseating is the number.
Yeah, it is. 210.
Damn.
Rob?
I'm going much, much worse than that.
Oh, shit.
I mean, we're talking half an hour. I mean, look at how many hot dogs Joey Chestnut
eat
in basically 8 minutes. So
yeah, but hot dogs are easier because you can dip up in the water and the lemonade or whatever.
Yeah, but you can do the same thing
yeah.
with
the hot sauce.
It's still with the
here.
We're talking bone in.
Well, here,
right.
Well, here before. You...
But I mean, if you got the gap in your teeth like this, I mean, you could just siphon just take
God.
The chicken right.
So here,
the
here's a question.
So he's saying
week.
Michael Strahan's a natural.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Here's a. I'm not going to change my answer, but here's a question for everyone else. For you, Matt.
I don't know the answer. I know.
Are they playing chicken wings?
Probably. I don't know.
Right. That was going to be my question.
I would say they can't be because you would get sick of eating the same flavor for 30 minutes.
Well, it definitely wouldn't be the blazing wings at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Hell no. No.
You're going to have someone go get an operation done. I'm not looking. Calm down.
No, I'm just trying to chew with
the You're looking at the freaking monitor.
For God's sakes.
Number of chicken wings eaten in 30 minutes, Rob.
485.
Oh!
Gail.
Wow!
Does that include emesis?
I don't know what that means.
Vomiting.
No.
Reversal.
No
reversal of fortune. No reversal of fortune.
That would cause disqualification.
545.
Oh, my God!
Daniel.
I'm going 450.
450.
224.
224.
Rob, what was your answer?
485.
486.
What?
Last year the winner was 444.
Holy
shit. This year was 501.
Oh!
Sorry, Rob.
Wow. Where's a soundboard when you need that, man?
That was simply like.
We need some sound effects like, whoa!
So I did a little bit of math. I went on to one of those fitness apps. A chicken wing is 130 calories for the two pieces, the bottom part and the lower.
Is that just plain? Plain cooked or deep fried or whatever?
Yeah, so that's 130 calories per wing. So okay. That would be 32,565 calories consumed in 30 minutes.
That's enough calories for a healthy person for 16 days.
Roughly 18, correct.
Yeah, because what? Isn't the typical...
Like 2,000.
2,000.
Yeah.
All right, so we all have beers in front of us.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. So I was just curious when you said that number. I'm like, I wonder what the... Because I know Michael Phelps' giant diet, but he only does 12,000 calories a day.
So, and I think to lose a pound is 3,500. So, yeah. Ugh, I don't even want to think about that.
So we have a beer here. It's a Michigan craft beer.
Yeah.
It is a 3.68 out of 5 on rate beer. It is a 6.5 ABV. The description reads as such. Cola brown in color with ruby highlights and heavy haze. Poured with a moderate, creamy, light tan foam with medium, low retention. Sweet, dark malt and brown bread aromas with light roasty and nutty notes. No hop aromas. Ken's got to be loving that. Medium bodied with light carbonation and light warmth near the finish. Feel is a bit thin. Roasted malt flavors with sweet dark beneath. Light nutty notes with hint of earthy hops. Medium spicy hop bitterness. He said no hop. Okay. Bounces the maltiness through the middle. Sweet dark bready malt flavors near the end. Finished with a light bitterness and a touch of roasted malt. Well balanced with a good malty character. Feel it was a bit thin for the roasty character and not really appropriate for the style. Didn't change my score. Easy drink overall. Pretty tasty. So somebody was way too into themselves to...
Who did that?
We don't
some
know.
Asshole on rate beer.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you put it in the judge's hands and she's got to be listening to that like, what the hell are they even talking about?
Now, Gail, do you agree with that description or are you...
No,
she's saying absolutely
no.
I feel like I've had this before.
I know, I do too.
Well, so automatic first question, is this a Michigan beer?
Yes, this is a Michigan craft beer.
All right, mm-hmm. So I got the Michigan brewery.
No, he already said that.
And just by the look of it...
I just told you what it looks like.
Well, no. Me looking at it.
It looked like a beer.
It's huge. It's got legs.
Does it know how to use it? Does he knows how to use them?
I don't know.
The ZZ Top?
Thank you, ZZ Top.
Is this English mild?
Mm-mm. Huh? Mm-mm.
It's 6.5, it wouldn't be very mild.
Uh-huh. Hold on a second. Do some research myself.
So we've got
a robust porter.
Grandmaster Almighty Omega beer judge over here, one of two in the state.
It's like a robust porter, maybe, but it's got legs, so it's got some alcohol. It's got
I think it's about 6.5% alcohol by volume. That's just my guess though. I don't know if
medium full body. I mean chocolate, coffee, like a robust brown, robust porter.
Are we starting with the side of the state? Or are we drawing a line?
So for our guests, the goal is to name the beer. It is a Michigan craft beer.
We have three questions to get answers for.
So we can ask only yes or no questions, and these questions can be anything from geography to style to anything in between. So we can try to like lower it to like, all right, is this... You know, a widely produced beer, so maybe if we try to go, like, north or south of, you know, some random line in the middle of Michigan or east or west of, say, 127.
Arbitrary Pointville. Gail, do you think you've had this beer before?
Possibly.
I was going to say, I'm feeling the music, too, a little bit. Maybe it's I'm still coming down from like when I went to see Darud, my ears were ringing for like 3 days.
Forget it.
Oh yeah, well when I went to go see AC/DC in 2015, my ears are still ringing.
Who's that?
Some band with that doesn't even.
You sure play wasn't? Together anymore. Are you sure you didn't see Ice Cube? Because he says that he keeps the heads ringing.
I don't think Ice Cube.
Ice Cube's too busy on the Special Victims Unit.
Yeah, I don't. That's Ice T.
That wasn't same difference. That wasn't.
No, that's not a same difference.
Well, all of you stop.
It was Ice Cube.
That was not Ice Cube.
Yeah,
that was not Ice T. That was Dr. Dre
and Ice Cube.
Let's get to the beer.
There's another show about beer and hip hop for somebody to listen to. I just don't know what
I know. I need
to. It's just called Beer and Hip Hop, to be honest.
I need to get to that.
Another podcast.
Anyway. All right, so we have a Michigan craft beer in a cup.
Michigan craft beer in a cup.
Does anybody not like this beer?
I mean, it's
not bad.
It's not bad.
So everyone is again not.
Well done. Well done.
This is not. This is definitely one of the better beers you brought in.
So this is not Lever 2000 beer.
Definitely not. No. I don't think
you would drink a full pint of this.
I don't think you've brought me a Lever 2000 Old Spice collab in like at least a good 2 months. So
are you upset that I've done that? Are you upset that I fell out on the Old Spice collabs?
I mean, no. Right. Like right now, I'm I'm
floral
good.
Tannins.
But yeah, don't bring it.
All right,
just keep this shit coming.
All right, so let's get one question out of the way.
Yeah.
Let's try to get somewhere. So let's go. Is this east or west? Or sorry, is this west of Lansing?
Yes.
Okay. So west of Lansing, we got Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Traverse City,
Muskegon,
Marquette.
You're all the way up to Bel Air.
Iron Mountain.
Yeah.
Petoskey.
Okay.
I was gonna say I'm pretty sure Petoskey's. Yeah.
Mackinac.
Yeah. No, Mackinac is east of
Marshall.
Marshall is west. Okay, so we got at least a general area.
Yeah.
So we've got a general style. It's either a porter or a brown. Some a little chocolatey, a little coffee.
I'd go with brown.
Brown ale. Should be right in my wheelhouse then if it's brown.
Right, it should.
Like, I know it.
It's like it's a barrel-aged Bel Air brown or something.
No, it's not a barrel age for sure. There's zero
heat. Oh, yeah, I know. There's
so
no barrel
smooth.
In there. At least I don't.
So, and it's got to be, so it's going to be distroed. Like, it's not going to be from the brewery tap house itself unless it's like, well, it's not going to be because he would have had to have gone there today and he didn't go there today. I don't trust him.
West Atlanta.
Did you use the description on your phone?
I'm looking up beers right now.
He's looking at. He probably can't find anything.
I got a
couple.
He
was playing
choices.
Pokemon for a second.
He's an iGen. They can find anything on that phone.
Yeah.
I'm going with brown nut porter.
I was gonna say, is this a Tide Pod porter?
Is that one of your questions?
No, it is not. That's not one of my questions.
There's a beer name for you right there.
The Tide Pod porter.
Right.
Just call it like the TPC porter. Yeah. Don't even tell people what it is.
Nope.
It's better than Todd Bridges porter.
Ooh. It's like,
man, slow. You're too young for that shit. Shut up.
Matt's muted for a minute. Matt hosting his own five questions has been muted for a minute.
All right. So
we can ask another geography question. We could literally ask if it's a brown ale, and he could say yes or no.
I'd say yes.
You'd say, so don't even bother asking if it's a brown ale.
Or porter, no.
So it's on the west side of the state, or west of Lansing. Gosh, this is definitely hard for me. Like, I love it. I think it's a really good beer. I hope you have some more for me to drink.
No, I mean, just... I would have if we didn't have six people.
As I say, if we go geography again, then probably what we should do is either cut it down by either saying north or south of Muskegon.
Muskegon.
South.
So south of Muskegon would be basically Marshall, Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, Saugatuck.
Right. I'm just saying if that was a thought of going to another geography question, then... That would
Holland.
At least split it up. Oh, yeah, New Holland.
Oddside. What's Oddside's brown ale? Like D's Nuts?
I thought Oddside was north of Muskegon.
No, Oddside's south of Muskegon, Broseph.
Oh.
Cities south of Muskegon would include Grand Haven, Comstock Park, Grand Rapids, Battle Creek, Holland, Kalamazoo, and...
Portage, Latitude 42. Ooh, is this Lifewater?
Dowagiac.
Dogtown.
Oh, yeah.
Kazoo. Pullman.
Random as shit.
Allegan.
Yeah, no shit.
Hastings.
Lat 42?
Nope, doesn't match the ABV. Oh, well.
I could say.
It was a really random guess, which was Lifewater from Latitude 42, which you would have gotten on draft.
I
think you got this in a bottle.
I might have. that a question?
Lucifer is dark.
Can I ask that question?
If you'd like to.
Is this beer distroed in a bottle or can?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it's not a draft-only option.
Correct. On to question number three, good sir.
Question number three. Yeah, we're getting close to the time. We got to figure this out. Let's just try to get it to a city. I have a feeling I might know what it is.
Yeah, he's about to pull out of his ass. He's sandbag McGee over here.
All right, I'm gonna pick the city. Charlotte,
okay,
which is south of Grand Rapids, north of Marshall and Kalamazoo. Is this brewery south of Charlotte?
Of Charlotte, Michigan.
Charlotte, Michigan.
Let me pull out my handy-dandy Google Maps.
127.
Let's see.
It's kind of giving some cowbell right now.
What's the name of the brewery? I'll help you out.
It is not south of Charlotte, Michigan, according to the Google Mappies.
Ooh.
At least on the latitude-wise.
What just happened?
That is the at least not latitude-wise?
Yeah, so like looking at it latitudinally.
All right.
You got a bad latitude. Keep it to yourself.
Okay. So basically, it's not Kalamazoo or Marshall. Mm-hmm. So it's Saugatuck. It's
Grand Rapids.
Anything in Grand Rapids. But not too much bottles in Grand Rapids, though. Like, as much as Grand Rapids is a haven, this has got to be a bottle or a can distro. East side of the state, because I don't believe you went to the west side of the state to get it.
So, I mean,
I can only tell you style, not who did it.
Well, come on. We brought you in here just for category number three.
Only style. I mean,
what if it was just, well, no. It's been a long time since I've had Founders Porter, but I don't think that's it.
She says it's a brown, not a porter.
She said it could have been a robust porter.
If it's a porter, it's brown porter.
So.
I think we're tapping. I think we need to just get one guess. So let's figure out a brewery.
All right.
Brown ale.
I might punch you if you just pull this out of your ass. I might be really.
You know, I think the one I was going to throw out. Doesn't Brewery Vivant do one?
Brewery Vivant?
I thought they did a brown.
I don't think they distro. Is this Super Trooper? I'm just going for a guess.
You said it was.
Sorry. The poet? Oh, Cabin Fever.
Oh,
Cabin New Fever. Holland.
New Holland.
Ah.
That's a good one. I went with really, really far north to try to
you said,
get it.
Is it north of Charlotte? I said no. I guess.
You said it was north of Charlotte. I asked you if it was south of Charlotte.
Yeah,
Big Brown.
All right. So question number four. What do you feel? This is kind of more of a group talk. Is the perfect football beer? And what is the best snack with your with a good football beer?
Perfect football beer. It's got to be something that's sessionable, something that's crushable.
Yeah.
So I will
go ahead.
I'm gonna go with the beer that I think I see it on the table now. Fat Tire, New Belgium.
No, this is their Belgian wheat.
It's still
that's
Fat Tire.
Good one. Yeah, I love that one.
Regular Fat Tire.
Yeah.
I still drink IPAs.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Maybe all day IPA, but then you get a all day hangover the next day.
It's just borrowing happiness from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Gail?
I'd go with a homebrew bitter and nachos.
I'd just pretty much just take down a no rules and just a side of regret. I don't even want to remember this game.
No rules paired with regret. At that point, you might as well, I mean, just drink Ice House.
I'm not having that bad of a day.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
We just bust out the bourbon at that point?
Yep.
Yeah, right. I'm going to go macro, and I'm going to say PBR.
You know what? I'm going to stick with Nick on this one, not with the PBR, though. I think the best football or sports beer is the Twist Top Miller / Coors Lights.
Okay.
Because... Wow. You get 9 of them, which is really a 12-pack because they're 16 ounces.
Yeah.
Plus they're that resealable. So If somebody knocks you, you know, knocks the table or whatever, it's not going to fall and spill on the floor if you have properly sealed your beverage.
The Miller Lite would probably be a second for me, but I don't know. Just PBR growing up in college, you know, $2 16-ounce cans at bowling alleys during bowling tournaments. It's, you know, that's my personal choice, but I think Miller Lite would be a close second.
All right, last question. We got to wrap this up. So if you could have a Super Bowl of beer, it doesn't have to be one beer against it, once against another, but if you could pit two things in the beer world against each other, what would you do?
This is like a fight to the death type thing?
Yeah, like my answer was CBYs versus Hungry Bears.
Oh, that's...
And he's done.
And he is.
I didn't have Hungry Bears, but the CBYs part I had for sure.
Sharks? Are you sharks?
With laser,
sharks
with laser beams?
Yeah. Freaking yeah. Lasers.
So what do you guys think is something that in the craft beer world or just the beer world in general needs to kind of settle itself out?
All the New England IPAs.
Well, we tried that. It didn't work that well.
Like, what's the biggest enemy to you guys? Small enemy? Craft brewer and Dearborn.
Light?
No enemy.
No enemy?
No.
The major traffic shift we have on Michigan Avenue.
Right. Oh, jeez. Haven't been out there in a while. Is it bad?
We've got a huge construction project going on right across the street.
God.
And so they've, like, shut down the left turn lane on Michigan Avenue.
Oh, shit.
And shifted the traffic out so they can do the work on the front of the structure. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, for you, it sounds like it'd be like Imperial versus Sessions.
I'm thinking, like, Celebration versus maybe something else. Trying to think of what.
Like Celebration as in like times to drink? Like when's the best time to drink? Like Danning and Y versus a Celebration?
Yeah, like okay. Every day. No, Celebration. Sierra Nevada Celebration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Versus, I don't know.
Spotted Cow?
No. Then you're going to lead me into like the Tart series and I'm going to go way off. Yeah, Celebration versus Sun King, maybe.
Maybe we'll have that.
Like a Sun King.
Nice.
Rob, is there a battle that you'd like to see happen in the beer world?
Fatal 4-Way.
Okay.
Parents No Rules, Founders CBS, Funky Buddha Morning Wood, Breweries Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate wow. Rain.
Nick?
Get a deserted island and grab all the CBYs and stick them out there, battle royale style.
Put them on the Lost Island.
Like Lost Island.
Full on the movie or the book?
Well, I've never read the book.
Lost is a TV show.
No, I'm talking about battle royale.
I would say the movie because I've never read the book.
Okay. Well, all right.
Nick doesn't read.
I still prefer Hungry Bears.
Dude, I watch it. I read enough for freaking school. I don't want to read anymore.
The book is fucking amazing.
I'm sure it is.
It is. The movie's good, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Have one person open up their bag and get a frying pan. Or a frying
a
pan.
A hot plate.
A hot plate. Or why not? Let's give them a freaking beer growler. Why not? Here. This is your weapon of choice.
Just give him a bottle of CBS and a drain.
Dude opens up a backpack. He gets a growler brush as his weapon.
No, could you imagine every CBY on a desert island, you give him a keg of Miller Lite?
No, just give him a beer and then say that you can't drink it or you should drink it now. And they're like, well, I want to save it.
Everyone gets the most freshest bottle of Bourbon County. You are not allowed to drink
no,
it.
No, you'll get year-old all-day IPA. No offense to Founders, but that was the first.
Two-day-old zombie dust that's about to turn.
Two-day-old. First, all right, that's going to do it. That's going
to
do it.
First one to drink, yeah. The collar explodes.
All right, folks.
Oh, come on. Dude, get that out of here.
That's going to do it for us here at Better on Draft Podcast. Dearborn Brewing, thanks so much for coming out, guys. We had a
guys.
Blast
thanks.
Having you guys out. Make sure to check his ID before he gets it.
Just come on back. Beers are... better than ever.
Definitely.
Go check them out over on, where are you guys? Michigan Ave?
Michigan Avenue between Monroe and Oakwood, right in downtown West Dearborn. Just look for the giant construction project right across the street.
Yeah, so why drive through it? Just stop and get beer.
Exactly.
That's going to do it for us here. Better on ever. Draft. I'll go on, Yale.
Better than ever.
Better than ever.
Better than ever.
That's going to do it for us. Instagram, Better on Draft. Twitter, Better on Draft. Facebook, Better on Draft. Untapped, Bod Podcast. And Twitch TV, Bod Podcast. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.